American women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Gray's Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Gray's Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel. Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Joel Skousen's son, and we're going to be talking about the latest information from the World Affairs Brief, and we're living in exciting times. Andrew Skousen, you pick up the story about, is the lead story still going to be
dealing with
the downing of the Malaysian plane?
That's right. The top story this week is about the shootdown of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 while flying over war-torn Ukraine. Joel says, it now seems doubtful we will ever find out the truth about who shot this down. Virtually all of the claims proffered by Ukrainian, Russian, rebel, and even U.S. sources are contradictory and can't all be right. No one is providing raw data from a trustworthy source. Everything seems manipulated and interpreted so as to blame either Ukraine or Russia, and some facts even suggest an outside black operation that may have placed a bomb on board. Worse, establishment media sources can't independently verify any of these claims because access to the evidence is highly restricted and the site contaminated by scavenging. But the bottom line is, what difference does it all make? There still is no significant uptake in sentiment for war or direct confrontation with Russia, so any apparent motive, short of an accident, falls flat on its face. It's hard to see how anyone benefits from this tragedy. Washington's blog sums it up as, quote, rampant speculation, few facts, end quote. Joel inserts, for example, at first it was widely reported that the black boxes were found and shipped to Russia, and that turned out to be totally untrue. Washington's blog says, U.S. officials said earlier today that Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 was probably shot down by mistake, and there was no proof that Russia was directly involved, end quote. Joel says, so far, that's the best I can come up with, too. If the rebels were trying to down a lower-flying attack or transport aircraft with a surface-to-air SA-11 missile, it's not hard for these missiles to switch targets and lock onto another aircraft above or nearby that just happens to cross over at an inopportune time. In fact, that's what I think happened to TWA-800, which was crossing a U.S. Navy missile training exercise. The missile was tracking a horizontally flying drone that happened to cross under the flight path of TW-800 just as the missile was fired, and the missile mistakenly locked onto the higher, larger aircraft. Then the government went into a pernicious cover-up mode. But getting back to Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, the Los Angeles Times reports, quote, U.S. intelligence agencies have so far been unable to determine the nationalities or identities of the crew that launched the missile. U.S. officials said it was possible the SA-11 was launched by a defector from the Ukrainian military who was trained to use similar missile systems, end quote. Joel says, that's as tenuous as the next theory, but since the full blame can't be leveled at either Ukraine or Russia, it still looks like a mistake on somebody's part rather than an intentional shootdown. According to experts on the 1970s-era Buk-11 system, It's not easy to operate the surface-to-air missile system and takes a highly skilled team to get it up and running, so it's highly unlikely that a single defector could pull this off. Once again, the increased third round of sanctions against Russia are a joke, so that still tells us that the U.S. and EU are not serious about confronting Russia's stealth war against its former Soviet satellite states. The only real casualty of the whole affair seems to be the disruption of the Ukraine government, whose coalition of parties just fell apart on Thursday as two of its radical smaller parties pulled out, forcing either new elections or a new coalition. And like the original coup itself, where the pro-Russian security forces inexplicably stood down, this too seems strange in its timing and very manipulated. Bloomberg noted, quote, the UDAR and Svoboda parties, Joel inserts, Svoboda being the one with the phony neo-Nazi leader, continue the quote, said they'd leave the government and seek a snap parliamentary ballot, according to statements today on their website. Under the Constitution, the former Soviet Republic has 30 days to form a new coalition, or it must call early elections. The existing cabinet will remain in place in the meantime. Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk has resigned. Joel says, I don't expect any real change from this. End quote. The only real, the only credible evidence, Joel says, I've seen that narrows down the cause of the crash are two photos of fuselage pieces painted in Malaysian airline colors, which clearly show signs of an explosive warhead going off outside the plane. That would eliminate the internal bomb theory, but it doesn't answer the question of who shot it down. There are two credible claims being bandied about. The first is that it was either shot down by a supersonic SA-11 Russian-made surface-to-air missile capable of reaching the Boeing's 33,000-feet cruising altitude, or it was by a fighter plane launching an air-to-air missile with either a radar or infrared-seeking warhead. All of these missiles have proximity fuses that explode as soon as the missile is near the aircraft to maximize damage. However, as a former fighter pilot who has launched air-to-air missiles at flying drones, I've never seen the smaller fighter-mounted missiles cause a larger aircraft to break apart. They usually take out an engine or cut fuel or hydraulic lines, bringing down the aircraft slowly, but only catastrophically if the fuel explodes, which didn't happen in this case. So I believe it is most likely that this plane was brought down by the much larger surface-to-air variety of missiles that both sides possess, with 120-pound fragmentation warheads that broke the plane apart at altitude. Let's look at the claims of both sides. First, the Daily Mail counters the Russian claim that the separatists didn't have the Buk SU-11. SA-11. Quote, a powerful Ukrainian rebel leader has confirmed that pro-Russian separatists had anti-aircraft missiles of the type Washington says were used to shoot down Malaysia Airlines flight MH-17. Alexander Khodorkovsky, commander of the Vostok Battalion, acknowledged for the first time since the airline was brought down in eastern Ukraine last Thursday that the rebels did possess the Buk missile system. He also indicates that the Buk may have originated in Russia and could have been sent back to remove proof of its presence. Before the Malaysian plane was shot down, rebels had boasted of obtaining the Buk missiles, which can shoot down airliners at cruising height. But since the disaster, the separatist main group, the self-proclaimed People's Republic of Donetsk, has repeatedly denied ever having possessed such weapons, end quote. Joel says, in order to save Russia from a damaging connection here, rebels say this was a captured Ukrainian unit. If that were true, it would have been almost impossible for any non-trained crew to learn how to operate this difficult radar-guided missile system. Although it is reported that once the missile system locks on, it becomes automatic, almost, to get killed.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
The staff and families at Grace Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel. Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
So here we're talking about the Malaysian Airlines 17 flight. In order to save Russia from a damaging connection here, rebels say this was a captured Ukrainian unit. But if that were true, it would have been impossible for any non-trained crew to learn how to operate this difficult radar-guided missile system. Although it is reported that once the system locks on to a radar source, the kill shot becomes automatic after the launch button is pushed. The counter to that is that the separatists just shot down two other Ukrainian Su-25 attack bombers with shoulder-fired missiles, so we know Russia is delivering sophisticated armaments to rebels trained in how to use them. Now the blame game commences. Quote, Khodorkovsky blamed the Kiev authorities for provoking what may have been the missile strike that destroyed the doomed airliner, saying Kiev had deliberately launched airstrikes in the area, knowing the missiles were in place. Joel adds, and increasing the chances that a rebel-fired missile at an attacking fighter bomber could have switched its lock and gone after the overflying airliner. Continue the quote. After the crime comes the cover-up. Tony Abbott on the M817 evidence. Quote, I knew that a Buk came from Luhansk. At the time I was told that a Buk from Luhansk was coming under the flag of the LNR, he said, referring to the Luhansk People's Republic, the main rebel group operated in Luhansk, one of two rebel provinces along with Donetsk, the province where the crash took place. Quote, they probably sent it back in order to remove proof of its presence, end quote, Khodorkovsky said. Joel says, then comes this from the Russian side, as reported by ZeroHedge.com. Russia claims to have satellite images of Ukraine deploying Buk missile system. Quote, the Russian Defense Ministry, during its press conference, which concluded minutes ago, here is the full clip of the Russian Ministry releasing its own forensic analysis of what happened to Flight MH17, with English transcript. Russia wants to know why Ukraine moved its Buk missile system the day of the MH17 crash. Interfax reported that the day the Malaysian airliner crashed, the Ukrainian forces deployed an air defense group of three or four Buk M1 missile batteries near Donetsk. Lieutenant General Andrei Kartapolov, head of the Russian General Staff's Main Operations Department, told reporters on Monday. These surface-to-air systems are capable of hitting targets at a distance of 35 kilometers at an altitude of 22 kilometers. For what purpose and against whom were these missile systems deployed? As is known, the militia has no aviation, he said, end quote. When he says militia, he's talking about the pro-Russian separatists. Joel says, I've seen the satellite photos, and while they do show Buk batteries somewhere in eastern Ukraine, and later show that those batteries have disappeared, we have to take the Russians' word about where they went and if the dates of the photos match the flight's downing. Whether or not they were 8 kilometers from Luhansk at the time of the shootdown, as the Russians claim, cannot be confirmed by the evidence they presented. because the lines and dates were added to the raw photos. This is the same problem with the data presented by the U.S., ostensibly proving that the rebels fired the missiles. It is a similarly doctored composite reconnaissance view with aircraft flight paths overlaid on the photos. We know U.S. photos can detect the blast of a missile, so why are we shown a close-up of the airplane and the missile rocket blast right in flight? Lastly, Russia claims to have a screenshot of an air traffic control image showing a computer-generated aircraft blip within a few miles of the MH17 before the crash, which they say was a fighter aircraft. Moscow's Russia Today reports, quote, a Ukrainian Air Force military jet was detected gaining height. Its distance from the Malaysian Boeing was 3 to 5 kilometers, said the head of the main operations directorate of the headquarters of Russia's military forces, Lieutenant General Andrei Kartopolov, speaking at a media conference in Moscow on Monday. We would like to get an explanation as to why the military jet was flying along a civilian aviation corridor at almost the same time and at the same level as a passenger plane, he stated, end quote. Joel says, as you can see in the photo embedded in the link above, these photos are only of air traffic control information and not of actual aircraft. So we have to take the word of the provider that the designations on the screen, including the dates and times, have not been manipulated. And even if a fighter aircraft was in the area, it's no proof that it launched a missile at the airliner. In summary, the degree to which all sides are presenting inconclusive evidence is very discouraging. But as I said at the beginning, the story isn't going to accelerate or slow down the self-war for Ukraine, nor cause it to expand into a world war, despite the constant hype we hear on the net. And because this tragedy lacks a sufficient motive to alter the conflict, I'm still inclined to believe no one intentionally shot down this airline. Well, switching topics here, Dr. Stan, the next story is about Israeli-Hamas war, the media bias, and civilian death. This week, as the Gaza war rages on and international pressure mounts for a truce and a ceasefire, note that these always save Hamas from extinction, we need to discuss the two major complaints of the pro-Palestinian side, media bias toward Israel and civilian death. First, about the media bias. The problem in analyzing media bias is that most of my audience assumes the media is leftist liberal, but that isn't technically accurate. There are true left liberal outlets such as Democracy Today, Mother Jones, and The Nation, which are predictably pro-socialist and which are often anti-globalist. Seeing those from an anti-capitalist point of view, i.e. crony capitalism, which is only part of the problem of globalism. The controlled mainstream media, on the other hand, is actually a shill for government and only seems left liberal in orientation because the official government position is almost always liberal, except when it comes to promoting endless wars of intervention. Then it takes a neoconservative position, which is technically a globalist agenda, not truly quote-unquote right-wing. This is an important distinction because the true left is pro-Palestinian, taking that position as self-perceived champions of human rights, whereas the mainstream media always parrots the government line, whether liberal or neocon. And because Israel has been uniformly co-opted by globalism through its leaders, the mainstream media always covers for Israel as well. Now let's turn to the recent coverage on media bias toward Israel, as covered by Democracy Now! The most glaring examples have been Israel's censorship of any radio broadcast that names the Palestinian children killed in Gaza, and the firing of reporters who dare show unjustified death of Palestinian children. This from Democracy Now!, quote, over the weekend, NBC reversed its decision to remove veteran correspondent Ayman Moyodin from Gaza. Moyodin was removed shortly after he reported on witnessing Israel's killing of 4 boys on a Gaza beach. His reports gave voice to Palestinian victims and placed the siege in the wider context of Israeli occupation, drawing criticism from supporters of Israel's offensive. NBC's decision to remove one of its top reporters sparked a massive backlash on social media with the hashtag #LetAyman Report. Becoming a trending topic on Twitter. Days later, NBC backed down and Ayman Moyodin resumed his reporting on Sunday. In a Twitter post, Moyaldin acknowledged the social media campaign that demanded his return, saying, quote, "Thanks for all the support. Proud of NBC's continued commitment to cover the #Palestinian side of the story," end quote. Amy Goodman says this. The alternate writer Max Blumenthal spoke to an anonymous NBC producer who said, described, quote, "A top-down intimidation campaign aimed at presenting an Israeli-centric view of the attack on the Gaza Strip," unquote. In his piece for Alternate, Blumenthal wrote, "The NBC producer told me that MSNBC President Phil Griffin and NBC executives are micromanaging coverage of the crisis, closely monitoring contributors' social media accounts, and engaging in a witch hunt against anyone who strays from the official line," Blumenthal wrote. The producer told Blumenthal, quote, "Loyalties are now being openly questioned," end quote. Joel says, the Blumenthal quote is an accurate portrayal of the kind of close control editors exercise to make sure reporters don't stray far from the government position. They don't have to clamp down very often because they are careful to hire only predictable yes-men and women with a liberal bent. But if the media is pro-Israeli to a fault, how do we explain the one-sided coverage of the media emphasizing Palestinian death and whipping up international calls for a ceasefire to stop Israel? It goes back to what I explained earlier. The mainstream media is following the globalist agenda, which wants conflict but doesn't want to ever resolve it by eliminating Hamas. So while the mainstream media always features pro-Israeli spokesmen, both in Israel and in the U.S. government, almost 10 times more often than anyone from the pro-Palestinian point of view, once the conflict reaches maturity, they all start screaming for someone to stop this killing, short of rooting out Hamas. That always allows for the conflict to continue in the future. Democracy Now! Seeks to right that bias by featuring Palestinian-Israeli journalist Rula Jibril as the sole Palestinian voice in the media. But they all miss this crucial distinction as well, not understanding what the globalists are up to. Quote, Rula Jibril on MSNBC's Ronan Farrow Daily cited a disproportionate amount of Palestinian voices and a preponderance of Israeli government officials and supporters, end quote. Joel says, however, I will also venture to point out that part of the problem is finding a Palestinian spokesperson that is willing to look at both sides in a balanced way. Here's an example of what the media is faced with by official journalists who come from Gaza. Palestinian journalist Khalid Amire exaggerates every possible aspect of the crisis. This is a quote from PressTV.com, the pro-Iranian U.S. voice, quoting Amire. Quote, you know, for every Israeli child killed inadvertently by Hamas or other Palestinian organizations, there are at least 500 or 1,000 Palestinian kids killed knowingly and deliberately by the Israeli army, end quote. Joel says, to say that the ratio of inadvertent to purposeful killing of Palestinian children is 1 to 500 or 1 to 1,000 is, 1, virtually impossible to know, and 2, absolutely preposterous. Given that almost all children's deaths, except the boys killed on the beach, were killed under circumstances of house-to-house fighting or air and tank attacks on Hamas fighters holed up in homes or other places where families are still present, which I will cover shortly. He continues, quote, one raid by an F-16 warplane can kill dozens of people, but thousands and thousands of Palestinian rockets launched by Hamas killed or injured only a dozen Israelis, or maybe 10 or 15 or 12. So these rockets are psychological in nature. They are almost innocuous. They cannot be compared to the notorious and evil Israeli machine of death, which kills Palestinians in the thousands, end quote. Quote-unquote innocuous means harmless. And these rockets are hardly innocuous just because their use is indiscriminate and inaccurate. This is a common example of the warped logic employed by this journalist coming out of Gaza. He's more like a propagandist. Notice how he dismisses lethal rockets as mere psychological weapons and complains that because the indiscriminate launching of thousands of rockets has only killed 2 or 3 Israelis so far, that responding with effective weapons is somehow disproportionate. That's like a criminal who tries to kill you with a knife complaining because you respond with a handgun. The fact remains, these rockets are all lethal, even the smaller 3-inch rockets. And they are all targeting civilians, making them weapons of terror. You can't tell me that Hamas wasn't disappointed in each rocket's failure to hit a lethal target and take another life. They were disappointed and can't claim the moral high ground. Now, as to the civilian deaths, no one can test that the number of civilian deaths is one-sided in this battle. But that's only because Hamas's weapons of mass destruction are not accurate, not because they wouldn't like the numbers to be lopsided in their favor. The real question is there any other alternative that will effectively stop the rocket fire permanently, other than rooting out Hamas, which fights only from among civilians? I might also add that all deaths in Gaza are considered by Hamas as civilian deaths, even though tens of their fighters have been killed. Here's more of the reporting by Democracy Now. Quote, Israel continues to bombard the Gaza Strip amid talks over a ceasefire. Israeli military attacks today include the bombing of Gaza's sole power plant and the heavy shelling of Khan Yunis, killing 6 people and leaving at least 20 wounded. The Palestinian death toll is near 650, including more than 160 children. Some 4,000.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
The staff and families at Grace Cafe recognize and salute the men and women in uniform standing tall for our political and economic freedom. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Their effort abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, where they say, if you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop in. That's Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault, a great place for great food, offering a 10% discount for all military personnel.
Well, sounds like we're back. We're covering the story of the pros and cons of the reporting of the civilian deaths in the Israeli-Gaza conflict. Democracy Now! Reports about some of the civilian deaths incurred in this incursion, saying, quote, the Palestinian death toll is near 650, including more than 160 children. Some 4,000 have been wounded. According to Gaza officials, 475 houses have been totally destroyed. More than 2,600 homes have been partially damaged. Israel has also struck 46 schools, 56 mosques, and 7 hospitals. 2 more Israeli soldiers have been killed, bringing the Israeli military death toll inside Gaza to 29. A farm worker from Thailand also died inside Israel after being hit by rocket fire from Gaza, end quote. Joel says, this reporting is factual, but not really balanced. Let me explain. First, it fails to mention how many of the dead and wounded, as listed, both quote-unquote children and adults, were active fighters. They never even tried to differentiate. Many of the boys 15 and above are killed wielding weapons in battle. While the statistics of numbers of schools, mosques, and hospitals is factual, without explaining the circumstances whereby Israel attacked these buildings, one is left with the very mistaken impression that they were fired upon indiscriminately or without cause. Virtually all of these buildings were attacked because Hamas fighters were either firing rockets from them or engaging Israeli soldiers with automatic weapons from the safety of these structures. Continuing the quote, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has endorsed a Hamas call to condition the ceasefire on ending the 7-year blockade of the Gaza Strip. Speaking today at the UN Human Rights Council, Navi Pillay, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, said there is a strong possibility Israel has committed war crimes in Gaza. Pillay cited Israel's deadly attack on residential homes in the Shejaya neighborhood and the shelling of the Al-Aqsa hospital, end quote. Joel says, well, we've all seen this before. When the blockade is ended, Palestinian radicals simply import more weapons. They do it even during the blockade, and there has never been any motivation to do so when the blockade is lifted. So why should the world believe that they will not take advantage of open borders this time around? The New York Times covered the aspect of Hamas fighting amongst the civilians. Quote, militant rockets can be seen launching from crowded neighborhoods near apartment buildings, schools, and hotels. Hamas fighters have set traps for Israeli soldiers in civilian homes and stored weapons in mosques and schools. Tunnels have been dug beneath private property. With international condemnation rising over the death toll in Gaza exceeding 650 in the war's 16th day, Israel points to its adversary's practice of embedding forces throughout the crowded, impoverished coastal enclave of 1.7 million people. Hamas uses schools, residential buildings, mosques, and hospitals to fire rockets at Israeli civilians, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told his Canadian counterpart in a call over the weekend. According to a statement from Mr. Netanyahu's office, Hamas uses innocent civilians as a human shield for terrorist activity. Nothing is ever so clear in the complex and often brutal calculus of urban warfare. There is no evidence that Hamas and other militants force civilians to stay in areas that are under attack, the legal definition of a human shield under international law. Joel inserts, sadly, this isn't true. Some who have fled the rule of Hamas have said Hamas threatens all the time. Continuing the LA Times quote, but it is indisputable that Gaza militants operate in civilian areas, draw return fire to civilian structures, and on some level benefit in the diplomatic arena from the rising civilian casualties. They also have at times encouraged residents not to flee their homes. Joel says, but no force or pressure, right? Continuing, when alerted by Israel to a pending strike and having prepared extensively for war, did not build civilian bomb shelters, end quote. Now let's return to the more moderate voice for Palestine, Rula Jibril, as she tells Democracy Now! What her solution is. Quote, are we really guaranteeing by supporting unconditionally this Israeli government, right-wing government, are we really helping Israel being more secure in the long term and ultimately American interest and stand in the world? End quote. Joel says, it's a legitimate question, and I happen to agree that the Israeli government isn't really interested in peace in the long term. As I explained last week, I'm not an unconditional supporter of the globalist Netanyahu government in Israel, and I don't believe they really want to solve the conflict, but rather widen it until it justifies a wide international peacekeeping presence that will ultimately make sure no one in Palestine is free, not even Israel. Continuing the quote of Rula Jibril with her recommendation. Quote, this policy with Gaza has been failing for the last 8 years. We had 6 bombardments in the last 8 years, and this did not topple Hamas and did not limit, weaken Hamas. The solution to this is actually lifting the siege, empowering them financially, and let them themselves, you know, create a moderate leadership that eventually can take over. We didn't manage to topple Hamas, and this is fact, end quote. Joel says, this is foolishness. What she doesn't say is that the reason Israel did not topple Hamas is because last time, and the time before, the globalists in Israel did exactly as she is suggesting now. They accepted a truce short of rooting out Hamas. They empowered Gaza financially with millions in tax revenue sharing and international aid, and let them have their quote-unquote modern leadership. As I pointed out last week, democracy will never yield moderate leaders in Gaza without reoccupation, capturing the armed militants, and shutting down the Hamas-run schools, which preach hatred of Israel constantly. And even then, it would take whole new generations living under relative peace to overcome the bad blood that now consumes those in Gaza. Sadly, I don't have any hope of peace in Israel. Well, switching to a different topic here.
Well, before we do, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad, subscribe to Sunday World Affairs Brief, and get to his book on secure home, Sunday, and go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Sam. The best way to contact this is to go to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. There, people can find an easy way to sign up for the World Affairs Brief. It comes out to less than $1 per brief, and the brief will come to your inbox each week. Also on worldaffairsbrief.com is a link to our other website, joelskousen.com, which has descriptions and listings of all of Joel Skousen's work that are for sale. These include Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, which are our most popular book. And it's a good primer for learning about what are the threats facing us and where are the more safe places to relocate to. Once people have some kind of an alternate strategy or alternate strategic location sorted out for themselves, they would probably do well to get one of our other two books, The Secure Home or The High Security Shelter.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheat Ridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
Going into the background of what's going on as far as us and the war is concerned. Andrew, pick up the story.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, switching to the next story is about Britain's hypocrisy in complaining about weapon transfers for Russia. The UK Independent pointed out, quote, "The government was last night accused of double standards over arms sales to Russia after it emerged that officials have approved a massive increase in weaponry to be sold to the country, i.e. Russia, to more than £130 million. Members of Parliament warned today that at least 251 export licenses for the sale of controlled goods, ranging from sniper rifles to night sights, remain in place despite a call from Prime Minister David Cameron for other countries, in particular France, to halt lucrative arms deals with Moscow. Downing Street insisted that any arms licenses granted for equipment to the Russian military had been suspended in the wake of the Malaysian Airlines MH17 disaster, after Mr. Cameron singled out French President François Hollande's refusal to call off a £1 billion deal to sell Moscow two helicopter carriers. The increase in the acrimonious war of words between London and Paris over sale of military hardware to Moscow deepened last night when the head of Mr. Hollande's socialist ruling party called Mr. Cameron a quote-unquote hypocrite, end quote. Joel says, well-deserved. The Guardian also reviewed a topic that I have long covered in the World Affairs Brief, Joel says. The U.S. directly involved in terror plots, i.e. that false flag attacks and acts of terror have been directed by the FBI. It said, quote, "Nearly all of the highest-profile domestic terrorism plots in the United States since 9/11 featured the, quote-unquote, direct involvement of government agents or informants," a new report says. Some of the controversial, quote-unquote, sting operations, quote, "were proposed or led by informants," end quote, bordering on entrapment by law enforcement. Yet the courtroom obstacles to proving entrapment are significant, one of the reasons the stings persist. The lengthy report, released on Monday by Human Rights Watch, raises questions about the U.S. criminal justice system's ability to respect civil rights and due process in post-9/11 terrorism cases. It portrays a system that features not just the sting operations, but secret evidence, anonymous juries, extensive pretrial detention, and convictions significantly removed from actual plots. Joel says, the full article gives specific examples and misses some, too. End quote. End of that story, sorry. The next article is about botched execution by injection. After decades of using drugs that execute violent felons by injection, how is it that now they are consistently messing up on execution, including so badly that recently it took a couple of hours for the felon to die amid hours of pain and agony? I, too, was suspicious that someone had purposely messed up on the drugs in order to gain publicity for banning the death penalty. Others suspect that it is to justify the return of the dreaded medieval guillotine. Here's Lynn Lees writing in BeforeIt'sNews.com. Quote, "They passed laws in Georgia to allow for the use of the guillotine on death row. But were you also aware a federal judge has now joined the ranks of those pushing for the use of guillotines nationwide? Do you see why they, quote-unquote, botch executions? They need to make the people demand a better way to kill. Prophecy will be fulfilled," end quote. Joel says, I felt immediately suspicious that the claim of Georgia passing a law to allow guillotines was bogus, and it was. This, according to Sharon Gilbert, the rumor gets put to rest, at least for now. She says, quote, whenever I find a rumor on the internet, I try to verify the report. Don't you? This morning, I started seeing a repeated meme about Georgia passing a law that would declare the guillotine as the new method of execution. The reason, stated in what is purported to be an excerpt from the proposal, is that prisoners who wish to donate their organs and are then electrocuted have been denied their wish due to degradation of all internal structures. Sounds sort of probable, right? First, I follow the link to the original quote-unquote source for the report. This took me to a page that looked rather like a source for Georgia's House. Representative Tepper is the alleged author of this bill. In fact, there is no bill about guillotines in the entire House library that I can find. Now, it is possible that the original bill created so much negative feedback that it was wiped from the record almost immediately, and another bill with the same number created. In this case, a football team bill does sound rather bland and innocuous. The original news goes back to David Flynn's website, and I know David didn't fall for fakes, so it's very likely that a substitution has occurred. However, that was back in 1996. Why has the report resurfaced all over the Alterweb today with the claim that the bill was passed? Beats me. But there is no bill, and at least not anymore, and it did not pass. Just another example of trust but verify. End quote. Joel says, indeed. The next story is about Jim Willie's hype about Germany joining the BRICS community. Jim Willie's newsletter is called The Golden Jackass, and he's acting like one now, pumping out the baseless and exaggerated hype about Germany breaking with the globalists and the EU and joining Russia and China in their nascent mini-bloc called BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. The moniker for the new alliance of leaders run by communist or pro-communist leaders. B for Brazil, with communist president Dilma Rousseff. R for Russia, Putin fronting for the Communist Party, which still runs the show. India, no actual communist leader there, but still a fully socialist country and allied for decades with Russia. C for China and S for South Africa, led by the communist ANC. Willie's headline, "The break has already begun," implies that this is a done deal, and yet when you read his stuff, you realize he has virtually no backing for his claim, other than his own hype. Even the so-called areas of dissatisfaction are exaggerated and betray his poor understanding about how globalists secretly collude with other controlled Western leaders, despite the appearance of differences, which Germany's leaders do mostly to placate the public. Here's what he claimed, quote, Germany has begun to move east in full view. Joel says, really? How come he's the only one claiming this? Continuing, only the deaf, dumb, and blind cannot notice, and they will probably never notice. They are fodder. The awaited signal seen by the jackass have finally arrived.
We're out of time, Andy. God bless. Talk to you again next week. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Griffith Auto Electric salutes the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's remember them during these trying times. Their efforts abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Griffith Auto Electric at 108 Sugar Mill Road in Sterling, who says our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families. They're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community. Call 970-522-0160. That's 970-522-0160.
Did you see the size of that commission? That certainly was a large commission. Where's the gold? It's a very, very big commission. Where's the gold?
At your typical gold dealer. You get a lot less gold, and they get a lot more commission. At Patriot, we provide you with more gold and silver with what we like to call the single-digit markup. At Patriot, you get more gold for less.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
And we live in time. And suddenly, we see the conflict in the Crimea. I mean, who shot the plane down? Was it possible it was simply a mistake? But I will tell you, as you read the editorials certainly written in major newspapers in America, everything is being done to turn the American people against the Russian people. Read the editorials and notice how they're trying to get us angry with the Russians. And I will tell you, somebody over in Moscow, one of our listeners, had staying there because he's ill. He comments that the newspapers in Russia are doing everything to get the Russian people angry with America. Why are they doing that? Why are our leaders trying to get us angry with the Russians and the Russians angry with us? I believe this is all a prelude to war. I'm not saying the war is going to be anytime soon, but this is how you do it. You do it with propaganda and go back and study how they got us into World War I with a steady deluge of propaganda over a two-year period. And eventually, American boys were fighting in a war we never should have been in. In fact, all of the wars are fraudulent, and they are all being waged to bring about the New World Order, the New World Financial System, and of course to destroy Christianity, the three legs of the goal of the what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, shame on you, you need to get it. You can get my book, which explains to you who's really behind everything going on, by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to understand that the media is rigidly controlled. Everything you read, everything you see, everything you hear has been predetermined for you. That is, of course, you can verify that in the book, The New Media Monopoly. The New Media Monopoly, written by Professor Ben Bagdikian, and he, of course, he's a left-winger. He thinks the right wing controls the media. Most right-wingers think the left wing controls the media, but neither, they're both wrong. The media is controlled by the Brotherhood, and you must understand that the Brotherhood is already in total control. They control both political parties. They control what's going on as far as our economy is concerned. They control the major banks, the six major banks. They control 67% of the financial assets. And they're controlled by the Brotherhood. Because they control the banks, they're able to control most of the major corporations, which are dependent upon them for loans. They control the educational system. And they're using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government, which is why we have our bases in 800 to 1,000 foreign countries. Do you honestly